Mike, spring is upon us. It's finally April, and you know what that means.
National Park Week is here. Every April, the outdoors community celebrates National Park Week. And if you're making your way to some national parks this spring, then be sure to pack a moon travel guide with you.
We all know how time-consuming it is to research everything involved with planning a trip to a national park, from hiking trails to permits to campsites to accommodation. There's so much involved.
Don't spend months endlessly searching, trying to build the perfect trip, when you can do it all with Moon Travel Guides.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical and sustainable travel. They are committed to the national parks and ensure that all of their guides are up to date with the most recent and most helpful information for travelers.
And if you find yourself headed to Wyoming, then be sure to include the newest, most updated edition of the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, Hiking, Camping, and Wildlife. In this guide, outdoor expert Becky Lomax takes you through everything you need to see, know, and understand about these two neighboring parks.
From trip planning, the best spot and times for geyser sightings, food recommendations, lodging, the best trail information for hiking trails, updated maps. This Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton has you covered.
For more information and to purchase the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, be sure to visit moon.com.
Let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide.
Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show, while our long format episodes explore one hiking trail, one national park, one park at a time. Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
That's right. And this episode is an episode devoted to our national parks, because after all, it's National Park Week. And while we loved this episode to be all about the amazing things that are happening in the park system right now, this episode is focused on the attacks that our national parks and public lands are facing.
If you have kept your eyes on the news since January, you no doubt have been barraged by the onslaught of news that has underscored the truly unhinged nature of the Republican Party, specifically their president, who we refer to and will continue to refer to as Toilet Number Two. And spoiler alert, if you haven't figured it out yet, as a listener to this show, we have an utter lack of respect for the way in which this lawless administration and the kowtowing members of the Republican Congress are operating.
Well, most of the news we have seen should come as no shock to anyone, least of all those who voted Republican and are feigned surprised, shocked that all the policies enacted are actually hurting them too. This was all too clearly outlined in Project 2025, the thing we were continually warned about prior to the election.
And while we could spend our entire episode speaking to the atrocities and illegality of so much of what has happened across the board since this literal turd, which refused to be flushed down the bowl, resurfaced to the top to yet again be oohed and awed over like a toddler's first use of the toilet post-potty training, we want to take the time to specifically focus on the national parks and our public lands.
So much has happened in the last 3 months that it's rather dizzying to understand just how we got here. However, if we take some time to stop and think, even without Project 2025, a lot of this was already postured, planned, and somewhat executed in our defecation-in-chief's first turd. I mean, term.
Let's start by highlighting the things that have happened so far to impact our public lands, including massive layoffs, deliberate deception, public erasure, monetary limitations, monument shrinking, and land exploitation, which sounds like a litany of items that would be charged against a criminal. Oh, wait. Our president is a felon, so it all makes sense.
Let's start off with one of the biggest issues, the massive layoffs of park workers. In what is being dubbed as the St. Valentine's Day Massacre of 2025, thousands of federal workers across a variety of departments were indiscriminately fired. Along with employees that have an impact on our public lands, like those of the U.S. Forest Service, National Park Service, Bureau of Land Management, and Environmental Protection Agency, other departments impacted included the Department of Education, Housing and Urban Development, Veterans Affairs, and the National Institutes of Health, to name a few. From the National Park Service, 1,000 employees were indiscriminately fired, and 3,400 were let go from the U.S. Forest Service.
These were probationary employees, meaning they were on the job for less than a specifically allotted time, which could be anywhere from 1 to 3 years or beyond, and not permanent employees. Regardless, they were illegally fired, as even a probationary employee with fewer protections than that of a permanent employee must be fired with just cause and must be notified in advance.
Now, through court orders, many of these workers were reinstated, but the case faces other appeals from the government and a potential intervention of the Supreme Court. For now, at the time of this recording, the injunction sending these employees back to work has held, but it is incredibly clear that the shrinking of the federal workforce, specifically in the realm of our public lands, has a greater purpose, which we will touch on later.
The one thing that these firings show across the board, whether National Park Service worker or National Nuclear Safety Administration worker, is the utter callousness and carelessness of this administration. As Hillary Clinton said, quote, "It's not the hypocrisy that bothers me, it's the stupidity," end quote. While this quote speaks to the greater administration as a whole, when you think of the race to the bottom line in whatever Christo, fascist, capitalistic regime that is being assembled, it also comes down to an utter lack of empathy.
Again, it's hard to not tangent off here about the economy or the job market or the fact that people's lives are being destroyed to enable for deeper cuts for the wealthier among us, which should be concerning on multiple fronts. If we center back to the cuts of employees of agencies that directly impact our public lands as shepherds and caretakers, it's downright criminal. Our public lands are an awesome resource for all, for their beauty and their splendor. In order to maintain that and maintain that safely, a reduced workforce is not the answer.
As we talk about the importance of the employees of our public lands, it's important to highlight our second point of the episode, deliberate deception. In 2024, as a whole, the 433 units of the National Park Service saw a visitorship of 331.9 million visitors, which was a 2% increase in visitorship from 2023. And the highest year on record. That being said, this information has not been widely shared or celebrated as it has in years past. In fact, individual parks themselves were instructed by the Department of the Interior to not publish their own visitor number totals.
Typically, this news is celebrated and boasted, especially by individual parks. Along with visitor numbers reported by the NPS, a separate report is typically released which speaks to the economic boon to surrounding park communities through tourism to the parks themselves. So pardon me, but why don't we want to brag about this? Wouldn't it be the best thing in the world for a megalomaniac who's obsessed with crowd size and approval rating to want to say how bigly wonderful we all are?
No, Mike, because that wouldn't justify those jobs and the positions that have been put on the chopping block.
Oh.
I'm glad you're so smart, but it all sort of makes sense, right? We need employees to run the park system and work as rangers and park law enforcement officers, guides, trail service members, medics, and a whole host of other roles within the park lands, because visiting our national parks, forest, and BLM lands is incredibly popular and has only gotten more so since 2020. And without people in these critical roles, things can go awry very quickly.
Correct. No park employees or lack of park employees, and we all know what happens. Chaos. In fact, this was well documented during the government shutdown. During our defecation in chief's first term in 2019, the federal government was effectively shut down for 35 days. While many parks faced issues because of the shutdown, Joshua Tree National Park was one of the hardest hit, as Joshua trees were literally chopped down and run over as people off-roaded through the park. This is all well documented in an earlier episode of ours titled Trail Mix, the Joshua Tree Problem. And devastation like this isn't something that ecosystems like those the national parks protect can easily bounce back from.
Along with lack of staff or little staff or no staff, funding has become a major issue when it comes to immediate purchasing power, as government-issued credit cards to park employees now have a $1 spending limit on them. With employees who are already on edge about their jobs, the fact that even though many jobs have been saved due to injunctions in the courts, they can no longer do their jobs effectively to serve the public, not only hamstrings the operations of the parks, but eats into the morale of the very people who act as stewards for the spaces they work in.
While park employees had been trusted to make operational spending purchases up to $10,000 through oversight within the individual parks and through field office approvals, now limited staff within the regional offices are the only designees with larger purchasing power. There are 7 regional offices throughout the national park system. To give you an idea of how many sites one regional office covers alone, the Pacific West region has 65 sites under its purview and about 5,000 employees.
The insanity of this doesn't stretch the imagination far as to what is happening. The administration is trying to gut the Park Service of its autonomy and the ability to do its job effectively. And why would they work to do that, you might ask? Especially when looking at the data, the national parks are incredibly popular across the political spectrum. In fact, an overwhelming number of voters, over half in each category, Democrat, Independent, Republican, and all likely voters, believe that the National Park Service and National Forest Service should have similar funding to what they have been given in years past. In fact, nearly a quarter of registered Republican voters, about 2/3 of Independents, and 40% of Democrats believe that funding should be increased.
In polling from Data for Progress, along with concern about the funding of the national parks and worry over the layoffs of employees of both the national parks and the national forests, over half of all likely voters are somewhat to very concerned. The public is increasingly concerned over the economic impacts this will have on surrounding park communities, the risk of wildfires, and harm to wildlife.
Well, well, well. Doesn't it all circle back around to the economy in so many ways? A thing that was supposed to be completely fixed when Lady BM and his merry band of idiots assumed office, right? Am I misremembering that? Or wasn't this supposed to be the golden age or something, right? Am I in the wrong? Because Joe Biden's economy was awful, and the stock market was terrible, and egg prices were outrageous. And there was no end in sight to inflation, right? This sounds correct.
But aside from the impacts to the economy of communities' neighboring parks, which, newsflash, is a tourism-based economy, the risk of wildfires and harm and danger to wildlife are incredibly real concerns. If you haven't been paying attention, wildfires just keep getting worse. Los Angeles will tell you. In fact, some parts of the North and Southeast will tell you as well, even though they never used to be a big problem for those areas. And it certainly doesn't take a lot of digging to understand how wildlife, especially protected species that may make national park spaces their home, may face greater struggles from human interaction because rangers aren't there to educate the public to help protect and leave the wildlife alone. Just look at Torons of Yellowstone if you want a first glance at what people do when a lack of education on how to engage with wildlife goes awry. Here's a quick tip. Keep your distance and don't touch. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across 2 separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you. But if spending limits and reduced park staff are the appetizers to a grander plan, then shrinking and erasing public lands to justify exploitation of the land through mining and drilling is like the salad or soup portion. Because let's be honest, it's all about stripping the earth of its remaining resources. Beauty be damned, habitats for plants and animals get lost, and drinkable water and breathable air? Fuck off! How dare you?
When you look at what happened with Bears Ears National Monument, and also look at Project 2025, it is clear that the case for shrinking or dismantling national monuments is high on the priority list because of development and energy production, which we all know is not clean energy production.
In his first term, when Turlet Bull himself originally decreed that he was shrinking the size of Bears Ears, a lawsuit was filed that alleged presidents lack the authority to destroy or dismantle national monuments, but only to create them under the Antiquities Act, which is the primary tool to establish national monuments. Although President Biden reversed the order on Bears Ears, the lawsuit still stands and can be brought to bear if such a move continues.
And yet again, more polling tells us that Westerners, where much of the wide open public lands, which are of indescribable beauty, are in the country, sorry, East Coast, and where many people tend to be of a red-leaning persuasion, peep those electoral maps, want more, not less, public lands and more protections for those that exist. In the 15th annual poll from Colorado College, which surveys residents of Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming, almost three-quarters want more emphasis from Congress on clean air, clean water, and wildlife habitat over land used for drilling for oil and gas, and also do not want to see protections removed to have these enterprises utilize previously designated land. The same survey sees nearly 90% of participants wanting more tribal influence on land management decisions, as well as wanting rangers and scientists to make land management decisions. Isn't it nice when people believe in science and despite whatever so-called electoral mandate, which it wasn't, there is a greater dichotomy to the electorate's needs than one person who couldn't run a successful business if it was already handed to him and all he had to do was not have to have a trade war to keep it running successfully was calling the shots?
Lack of business acumen and common sense aside, there is a deeper, more nefarious reasoning for the ire and whipping boy status of the National Parks, National Forest Service, EPA, and Bureau of Land Management. Capitalism, baby! A primary ethos of the Republican Party, smaller government is a thing that reigns supreme. Gosh, they must have been so pissed when FDR created all of his alphabet agencies and essentially ballooned the federal workforce to help counter the Great Depression, a thing that might be making a comeback sooner than later. Whee!
I mean, truly, the last time we got into the tariff situation was 100 years ago, and then 100 years before that, and each one of them led to a depression.
Yay! But seriously, since then, it's been mostly all hands on deck situation to shrink and eliminate parts of the federal government and the purviews that they cover.
And why, might you ask, is this the case? Well, as Mike said, capitalism, baby. When the federal government steps away, private companies can sweep in to pick up the slack, and therefore the rich keep getting richer. Look at education, where this slow march has been happening for a long time. Look at how hard Republicans have tried to kill the ACA. A great deal of this is an effort to allow for private institutions to have a stake in these arenas, or in the case of insurance, keep a larger stake of what they already have. Now, this may be an oversimplification of this, but it isn't far off.
And just think about public lands. If we dismantle the federal machine, which helps to operate, run, and keep pristine these spaces, then the only choice is to turn to private enterprise to run them. I'm sure there are some rich assholes somewhere willing to capitalize on this, because, honey, this is America, and everything here is for profit. Can't you imagine Half Dome being renamed the Coca-Cola Half Dome at Yosemite National Park, sponsored by BlackRock Financial? Because I can.
Or perhaps you'll read about how Biscayne National Park is now Exxon's newest space for offshore drilling. Or that Jewel Cave National Monument will now be used to mine for coal. Wouldn't that be fun? Won't that be so fun? Don't we love that?
Mm-hmm. As wildly outlandish as this might seem, it is not out of the realm of possibility in this country. Especially now, at this time. It seems that we can as easily erase a national monument or national park just as easily as we can erase people from history.
Well, we have taken our swings in this episode in relation to how the government has taken a hatchet to America's best idea. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about how they are literally changing history and operating from an erasure platform when it comes to queer history. The National Park Service has been time and time again referred to as America's storyteller. The parks, the national historic sites, the military parks, seashores, and national monuments add to a rich tapestry of what America is. Despite its capitalist inclinations, the stories of the land and the people who strove to write a better future for themselves and their world are some of the most important parts of what breathes life into the Park Service and keeps utter malfeasance and the stink of apathy at bay in a soulless land, even just a little.
One of our favorite things about last year and one of the biggest honors we've yet had was to attend the opening of the Stonewall National Monument Visitor Center during Pride in 2024. Due in large part to the tireless efforts of Pride Live and Diana Rodriguez and her team, the Stonewall National Monument Visitor Center is a space that helps to detail how queer history was catapulted forward in a massive way. The Stonewall Inn is and continues to be a beacon for so many in acceptance of self and in the continued fight for queer rights across the board.
As America's storyteller, the National Park Service preserved this site to underscore this importance in the tapestry of the history of not only America, but the world at large. This enshrinement, this history that was written here, was due in large part to trans people of color who were pushed to their limits and who, like so many before them, were yearning to breathe free. The trans community is a bedrock of the queer community, and without them and their history, we would not be where we are today.
The decision of this dumpster fire of an administration and the callousness of the Republican Party to make a scapegoat of the trans community for any manner of atrocity they see fit to make them pariahs of, when all they need to do is hold up a mirror to their own sad old white faces, has led to a literal erasure of history from the Stonewall National Monument on their webpage, in their literature, and in other spaces. This crusade of moral turpitude is based on nothing more than regressive thought and lack of understanding for the fact that because people are different from you does not somehow make them the enemy. Yet if we wanted to find a way to sow division and alienate others, we understand which party to look toward more often than not.
The National Park Service, though full of flaws, is America's storyteller. And America is a messy bitch. Some of us would like to pretend that there are no faults and that we are number one. We're not. The Park Service allows us to better understand the cobbled together nature of this land and hopefully through our own reflection and our furthered education, be more mindful and empathetic citizens. An attack on the Park Service through the guise of government efficiency is nothing more than a ham-handed land grab and historical whitewashing to suit the needs of people who put profit over people and profit over planet and can't grapple with the fact that the world is bigger, more diverse, and more beautiful than their small, sad understanding of it is.
The fight for freedom and for what is right has and never will be an easy one. We must find it in ourselves, the gumption, the fortitude to continue the fight through our words, our deeds, and our collective action. From the Freedom Trail to Independence Hall to Gettysburg to Yosemite, your National Park Service is in need of you. Carry the story on for the next generation and fight to make sure these spaces exist in all their splendor and rich history in perpetuity.
The sources for today's episode include SF Gate, the National Park Service, National Parks Traveler, Data for Progress, and the National Parks Conservation Association.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Justin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.